So for me, data assets, I also view them sort of as startups, because in essence, in order for a startup to be successful, there's a couple of variables that need to fall in place. Startups need to know their audience, their customers. Startups also need help with promoting and outreach and business development. And of course, the startup, the product or the service needs to be of quality. And for data sets, it's very similar, actually.
Welcome to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast, where we discuss Ocean Protocol, Web3 and blockchain data. Before we get started with today's interview, I'd like to quickly thank the Ocean Protocol Ambassadors Program for sponsoring this podcast. They sponsor a number of community outreach initiatives, and if you'd like to get involved or learn more, just follow the link in the show notes. I would just like to introduce Moritz, aka Data Whale, who many of you are probably aware of and have seen active on Twitter and other channels. And he's joining us here today, and we're going to be speaking about Ocean Protocol, and we're going to talk specifically around data assets, and we're also going to touch on the concepts of DataFi and data NFTs. So yeah, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us, Moritz.
Thanks a lot, Scott. And first of all, let me thank you as well for all the great work Ocean Missions has been doing. The podcasts so far have been really insightful, and great that you started this concept. And I'm really happy to be here today to also express my thoughts and my input on Ocean Protocol and Web3 data economy.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think this format has been proven to be quite effective for diving deeper into some of these, you know, potentially more complex topics that need a bit more of a thorough explanation. So yeah, thanks for that. I was wondering if we could start off and just have you tell us a little bit about yourself, and maybe explain to some of our listeners who may be hearing the term data asset for the very first time, or maybe they've seen it around but not entirely sure sort of what it is or what it means. Maybe explaining to us just a little bit about, you know, how you view data assets and what data assets are to you.
Sure. So yeah, my name is Moritz, and I started Data Whale back in November 2020. It started off as a community project that launched a data set on the Ocean Data Marketplace, where we basically ranked and gave our input on the various data assets that were tokenized on Ocean Protocol's marketplace that time. And the data set has done tremendously well. Till date, it's still the most sold data set on the marketplace. I have a commercial corporate background, and I got into Web3 and blockchain like around the beginning of 2017. And yeah, I have been passionate about decentralization and particularly Ocean Protocol, because I just thought the whole concept of putting non-traditional assets like data on the blockchain and then also making them investable in a way through blockchain tokens was at that time not clear for me. But I think since the marketplace launched and I've actually went on and played around with it a bit, I've understood what Ocean Protocol is trying to achieve and what this technology can unleash. So since then, I'm all over it, and I think it's one of the greatest opportunities in Web3 that is yet to be explored by the majority of participants in the space. And it's a very complex ecosystem, let's put it that way, but it's a huge potential, because obviously data is probably in our digital economy like the most valuable resource. Like if we think about it, there's a lot of technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and as much as you have data to feed them, then they will become more accurate. So to make these technologies work and apply in the future, what we need is data. And right now, we know that our personal data, the data that we create through our using applications, devices, etc., it's only available to large corporations like Google, Meta, and their algorithms are the best right now. So for all of those researchers and, you know, to basically disrupt this whole industry, what we need is to unlock that data. And in order to do that, I think to make data an investable asset, like an asset class by itself, where people can take control of their data, monetize it, where companies get the financial incentive to unlock their data in order to profit from it in an open manner that makes a data more readily available for everyone around us. I think that's what a data asset is to me, and that's what a Web3 data economy is about, and that's what Ocean Protocol is trying to unlock.
Yeah, fascinating. I mean, the idea of thinking about data as an asset, you know, it does really kind of explode into all of the different possibilities that that could be. And I suspect that some of the complication around this concept is the idea of data itself is it's a very broad term, right? Like data can be so many different things. And so, you know, you mentioned you had created a data asset and published it on Ocean Market, which is, you know, Ocean's marketplace that they've sort of set up for testing and so on and so forth. And you managed to generate a number of sales. Now, what do you think is it about your data asset, the specific data asset that you created, that's kind of led to this, you know, this kind of relative success in terms of people have been purchasing it and consuming and presumably also staking on it?
So for me, data assets, I also view them sort of as startups, because in essence, in order for a startup to be successful, there's a couple of variables that need to fall in place. Startups need to know their audience, their customers. Startups also need help with promoting and outreach and business development. And of course, the startup, the product or the service needs to be of quality. And for data sets, it's very similar, actually. And I think that's something that majority of data publishers on Ocean Market in those early days missed. The people who were on Ocean Market were people predominantly from the Web3 community. Mainly, they were, I think 99% were speculators playing around with Ocean Market, with data assets, investing in them with the help of the Ocean token and buying those data tokens in order to flip them and make a profit. Whereas what I saw, there was a need for those people because they did not know how to really value data sets at the beginning. They did not know which data sets are of value, which data sets might be a scam. Because obviously we had a lot of, it was like the Wild West at the beginning, right? People were uploading all kinds of data at that time. And yeah, it went a bit crazy. But at that time, people were just basically throwing money at whatever they thought made sense to them. So I found that niche with our data set directory. And we basically logged every single data set that was tokenized on the Ocean Market. We've done brief research around the data that was tokenized. So meaning we've done like a Google search and went into the details of the description and checked whether, you know, that data that was tokenized there is actually downloaded from somewhere else and just uploaded there. So whether it's trustworthy or not. And, you know, we've logged about 500 data sets at that time into the directory. And people were finding this valuable because it sort of gave them an overview of, hey, there is a directory of all the data assets that were tokenized on the Ocean Market. We want to, you know, access the data in order to make sure that whatever data sets we're putting our money behind, yeah, that those data sets are worth, you know, investing in. And people found that valuable and they actually staked behind our data set and they also bought access to it. And yeah, I think that's one of the key success factors of Data Whale. And also of the data set that we've uploaded at that time.
Yeah, and it ties back to your you know, concept of the data assets as a startup pretty nicely, really, where Ocean Market was this little ecosystem that was just coming online. And, you know, you kind of looked at the sort of MVP, which was, okay, well, there's going to be a real need here from all this traffic coming in of people just to get some more information around, you know, what these data sets are or data assets are, and you know, are they trustworthy, are they valuable, and so on. Did you spend a bit of time, like, can you sort of take us back to maybe just when you were sort of thinking about that? Like, was, did it come to you quite naturally? Was it quite obvious, and so you just, it was the first thing you started to do, or did you actually take a bit of time to think about what data asset could be valuable, knowing that the marketplace was about to go and get a lot of exposure?
Since I started DataWhale, every bit of infrastructure, every bit of communication, including the data set, we built it because I found that that's something that I would like to have within the ocean ecosystem, and I couldn't find it. So then we've just went ahead and built it. So I think it came sort of natural because that's something that I was missing that back then.
So, I mean, one of the things that sort of is coming up is around, you know, with so you have data, so it's this thing that is sort of anywhere and everywhere at the moment, and even more so, you know, in more recent times, and it's also not looking like it's slowing down anytime soon. And then there's this sort of financialization of it, you know, it becoming quote unquote an asset or a new asset class. Now, this other concept that has come up a bit, and I know it's one that you know you have referred to a number of times, is DataFi. And I was wondering if you could maybe dig into that topic a little bit and just give us a bit of an overview from your perspective of what DataFi is, what it means, you know, what is it when you sort of are adding the hashtag DataFi to posts and stuff like that? What is that all about?
DataFi in essence means data finance. So I refer to it as DeFi, but with data as an underlying asset. A lot of these DeFi protocols that we see nowadays, you know, stake here, you'll get 10,000% APY, and you know, it's not sustainable in my opinion. But where DataFi levels up is that you have all these existing DeFi tools and transactions, but you do that based on a real world resource. Let's give an example of traffic data. So every government around the world wants to reduce their carbon emissions, wants to make their cities more efficient. So they have all this traffic data. And there was this example, it's called Transport for London. And Transport for London is sort of like the public transportation authority in the city of London. And they've actually opened up all their data with regards to transportation. And since they've done that, they were able to generate economic value worth 130 million British pounds. So that resulted in, you know, saving. Obviously, opening this data resulted in saving costs, making the system more efficient. So if you have the right data, then you can create huge economic value. So it makes sense to have all these DeFi transactions paired with data, because data is valuable in its essence. And DataFi, I think, is a huge opportunity that the current ecosystem doesn't grasp yet. It allows data to be unleashed, and it gives financial incentive to publishers as well as investors alike.
So when you talk about using data in this concept of decentralized finance, are you talking about using data as some form of collateral?
Yes, that's correct. So basically, data can be a collateral. You can borrow against your data, you could lend against your data. You know, this whole point of staking on data assets, meaning locking your liquidity in data assets in order for others to be able to transact on it, is revolutionary. And I think DataFi will be one of the greatest trends that are yet to be explored by not only by the crypto and Web3 crowd, but also it will actually create real world value, and it can do it, like, the technology is available.
So you mentioned, you know, DataFi leveraging these DeFi tools, and arguably they can leverage the Web3 ecosystem, right? Like Ocean's running on Ethereum and Polygon and BSC and a couple of other chains, and it's sort of plugging in, and you know, you can use MetaMask as a quote unquote data wallet now, where you may have a data token which unlocks access to some data set or represents the value associated to that data set, and then you can store that in your MetaMask wallet, which is in and of itself an interesting concept. And one of the other kind of extensions of this idea is around data NFTs. And I know this is something that you're excited about, which is just around the corner. So I was wondering if you could maybe tell us a bit more about data NFTs and what makes you so excited about this new feature coming to Ocean.
Ocean implemented their technology based on existing token standards. So we didn't reinvent the wheel within the Web3 data economy, but basically we've just paired up the tools that are already existent, such as ERC-721, which are NFTs, and ERC-20 tokens, which are fungible tokens, and paired it together in a way that makes sense to and to allow for data to be exchanged seamlessly. Now, data NFTs for me personally are particularly exciting because, first of all, digital art was a stepping stone for NFT technology. I think digital art was easy to understand for people, like it's visible, people know what they're trading, and in essence, NFTs allow people to claim ownership over certain, in this case, it could be a Bored Ape, it could be CryptoPunks, so that's what we've seen in the last year or so. But I think that's just the beginning with the concept of data NFTs. NFTs are actually also, they represent a license, right? An exclusive license. For example, when you're an author and you write a book, then you could mint a data NFT with the help of Ocean Protocol technology and smart contracts. And that data NFT represents the exclusive license to your intellectual property, right? Because you've written that book. Now, would readers really buy an NFT to read a book once? Not really, because they don't need an exclusive license just to read a book, right? They need to access it once, and they don't need an exclusive license for that. So what Ocean did, they paired the NFT token standard, the ERC-721 token standard, with fungible ERC-20 tokens. So when you have a data NFT in your wallet, then you can go on Ocean Marketplace and you can mint sub-licenses for it, which are in the form of ERC-20 fungible tokens. And those tokens are called data tokens, right? And that's what we've had now for a while within the Ocean Marketplace. And now what Ocean is adding in their V4 is this supplementary technology of NFTs in order to regulate and license data exchange a bit better. Because in this case, like the author could either mint ERC-20 data tokens themselves, and then they could just sublicense data, their data access to their readers through Ocean Market, or they could sell the data NFT to a publishing house that would then do that for them, right? And that's probably the more common way. But yeah, what these data tokens enable is that they actually generate revenue for the data NFT owner. And suddenly, you're not just holding a profile picture, you're actually creating, and you're not just, for example, now I know what's going on in NFTs is like people stake their NFT to receive another coin for it, right? But what's the real intrinsic value behind it? Like here, coming back again to what we spoke about earlier with DataFi, here you have data. That's the underlying asset that your token represents. Like there's a real world value for it. Like we gave the example of Transport for London. Cities or companies, individuals can create value with the help of this data. And I just gave the example of an author writing a book for simplicity's sake, but you know, data NFTs could represent anything. They could represent, like I said, image libraries, financial trading algorithms. You have the exclusive right to that data. You can sublicense it through Ocean Market with the help of these data tokens, and then you can actually generate revenues with it as the NFT owner by selling access to your data with the help of data tokens. And then now suddenly it makes sense. Like for example, if your data NFT creates sales worth $1 million a year, Now suddenly it goes back to the narrative of data being a startup. Now you can actually value that NFT properly because you can say, hey, this NFT, it gave me X amount of revenue over a period of 3 years. And, you know, so that's why it's going to be worth this much. So I could actually buy this NFT, maybe develop the data further. I could increase sales by 10 or 20% and, you know, then sell it on for more later on. So suddenly now, instead of buying and selling companies, we're buying and selling data with the help of these NFTs and data tokens and so on. So that's like the ultimate narrative or the ultimate goal that I see for this token technology, that, and that's what basically is the potential for it.
Yeah, I like the book analogy. It's simple enough to really kind of ground the otherwise quite sort of hard to grasp and very open definition or understanding of data for a lot of people. And then when you start to talk about a book and you say, hey, well, you know, this book also is a digital book is data based. It is, you know, a series of text all together in a file. And, you know, that is something which obviously is valuable. Like, it's not very hard to understand or grasp the concept of a book being valuable. And then equally the sort of the copyright or the ownership rights, the IP associated to the author, is kind of the separate property. And yeah, you can kind of see how that could be applied and leveraged. And I mean, even just in that one example alone, it's, you know, you almost start thinking about some form of decentralized, you know, Amazon bookstore, which is kind of itself an interesting concept.
And I think, like, what are NFTs, like profile picture NFTs, really worth, right? It's what someone else is willing to pay for it. And it's fine. It's collectibles. I get it. Like, I myself collected Pokemon cards, sneakers, and I flipped them and I sold them for more money. So I get that. But what I do want to point out is that with data NFTs, by selling access to your underlying data with the help of these, you know, data tokens, you can actually value that data NFT in a much better way. Because you're generating revenues, you're generating sales. So the NFT itself could be valued based on that. And also, secondly, what I wanted to mention, coming back to DataFi, the NFTs itself, the data NFTs themselves, they won't really engage much into, you know, DataFi concepts. They're obviously like the first layer, I would say, that, like, in order to enable this. But the second layer obviously is data tokens, and those are fungible. So people can not only buy them in order to access the publisher's data, they can also buy them in order to hold them for profit. They could, you know, use them in order to use them as collateral. So there's all these, you know, DeFi applications that can be done with these data tokens that is super interesting. And that, in essence, helps publishers to actually value their data, because what is data really worth, right? Like, I have this financial algorithm or this, image data set of thousands and thousands of images that are optimized for AI. What is that really worth, right? With the help of these data tokens, it becomes like a stock market for data, right? For data assets. So people buy and sell these data tokens. They become like shares in companies, and people buy and sell them in order to profit. But also they help the publisher value the data asset. And then obviously the most important tool is for publishers to make their data valuable, and is to find buyers that are willing to pay the price of what the speculators valuing it at. So that's also an interesting, like, mechanism, and quite complex in essence. But I think Ocean also has the right incentives lined up, which is data farming, that basically incentivizes investors to put their money behind data sets that sell. So yeah, the whole concept is called data farming, and I think it'll make a big difference to actually incentivize the right behavior on top of the Ocean market, and not just purely speculative behavior, because in essence your data is only really valuable when it's valuable to someone else and who's actually consuming your data. And that's where the whole real world use case and real world value is created, right? And then we're not just trading tokens back and forth, then we're actually creating value that can be used within companies, that can be used within governments. So that's where we want to reach.
Yeah, so there's a number of pieces there, right? There's the, you know, there's the data assets, there's these NFTs, you know, there's Ocean Market, there's DataFi, there's all these pieces. If we were just to sort of strip it all back down to the most basic components of what the ocean ecosystem looks like today and maybe some of the key tools that exist in the ecosystem, what are just the basic building blocks that are out there today, whether or not they're, you know, like not so much what they could become in the future, but more just what is out there today? What are the pieces that come together that are forming the ocean ecosystem as it currently stands?
I think there's a variety of tools that are speaking to the various target audiences that Ocean has. And there's three main target audiences. The first one are data publishers. So people that have data that want to monetize it with the help of Web3 technology and tokens, NFTs, like what we've just discussed. The second target audience are data consumers, which are could be, you know, data scientists, governments, startups, companies that wish to generate value and are looking for data. So those are the consumers. And then you have the data investors, which are on the Ocean Market to help value data, make data investable, make data a tradable asset. And I think what's important right now is to understand that we're operating within a Web3 crypto ecosystem. So for me personally, in my opinion, data investors are hugely important because once we get the speculation started and we get the speculation started in the right direction towards actual consumption and utility, like with data farming, for example, once that money comes flowing in, we'll grab attention of the other two audiences, correct? So sometimes we're discussing what comes first, the consumers or the publishers. For me, it's publishers and then it's consumers. But they're all equally important and we all need to communicate to them in different ways. And I think we have the right ecosystem for it because we have different entities that are building towards, you know, targeting these various audiences. So we have, for example, Data Union, right? So they are sort of building a bottom-up infrastructure where data creators, like individuals, can provide their data into a pool. That pool of data is more valuable than one individual's data. And then that pool of data could be tokenized on the Ocean Market, and data creators could even get a share within their own data through that data union, right? So that's one narrative. Another project that is building within the ecosystem, for example, is Algovera. So they definitely are tailored towards onboarding data scientists, AI researchers towards the Ocean ecosystem. So they're working on the consume part, right? And then you have other projects like ourselves as well, like Data Whale, that are targeting mainly the data investors, right? And our language will be very different from the language of the other projects that are targeting other audiences, because we're simply in a Web3 blockchain crypto ecosystem. And we all know the memes, we all know, you know, price discussions, like that's what triggers those investors, right? To come on board and stake and, you know, participate. And if we incentivize them with the help of data farming, then towards, you know, staking behind data sets that are valuable, then I think that will be going into the right direction. And we have the tools for it, right? So we have at Data Whale, for example, what we've built is Alga, which is an application for a mobile phone, which is similar to a couple of the other normal crypto apps that we have. So when people onboard to Ocean and to the data economy, they will see tools that remind them of DeFi or that remind them of crypto in general, like CoinMarketCap, that remind them of an NFT marketplace, right? But instead of Bored Apes and CryptoPunks, we're trading data NFTs, and the data NFT have a couple of different attributes. So yeah, they're displayed in a different format, most likely. Now, what Alga does is make it super easy for those guys to come on board and first of all, monitor their data portfolio. So whenever they've bought data tokens or provided liquidity on the Ocean market, it will show on Alga and they can, you know, analyze whether they've made a profit or a loss on their investment. And it's a simple graphic interface of Ocean market, just displays the information that is on chain and in the user's wallet in a very different way. So they don't even have to create a new wallet. They don't need a new private key. They just link their MetaMask to Alga. And then they can view their data assets in a format that makes sense and participate in DataFi and participate in staking all through the app because we can also handle transactions through the app and they're confirmed through MetaMask. So yeah, it's a pretty simple process, but I think we have these tools available now. And if the narrative of, you know, a Web3 data economy kicks off and if data NFTs kick off and data tokens or data farming, we don't really know where it'll happen, like where it'll click. But if it clicks, all the other tools will benefit and we have it ready. Like we have an ecosystem where people are building, where people are, you know, creating value constantly. And yeah, we've pretty much got it covered. We just need to make it click and we don't know yet where it will click. But I think time will tell. You know, maybe there's a big publisher, like a corporate company that will onboard to Ocean Market with a data set. And then actually with that, you'll get the data investors. And I'm not sure how it'll happen, but I believe like it's unlikely that a large company would actually tokenize a data set. It will probably be like smaller startups, like crypto related companies, and we'll make it big with the help of data investors. And that's when more publishers will come with more quality data. And that's when the actual consumers will come because these guys, the publishers, obviously they want to generate sales. So they don't just want to entice speculation. They want to generate consumers. They want to generate sales because that's where they'll profit from. And that's where the whole ecosystem will kick off.
Yeah, no, it's in some ways, it's almost reminding me of sort of, you know, 2016 around, you know, pre the ICO boom, where there was just such an influx of activity, you know, leveraging the work that the Ethereum Foundation had done up until that point to start, you know, creating and distributing tokens. And as a result, there was, you know, a lot of rubbish, as there tends to be, but there's also been a lot of value. And I think part of the reason that the last couple of years have performed relatively well in the Web3 and crypto ecosystem is because a lot of the projects that attracted some value throughout that period were able to have resources to go and build and start to create things and produce things. And again, a lot of the stuff that was produced, you know, never saw the light of day, but a handful of things did. And then, you know, you started to have this explosion of activity that we've seen just in the last couple of years. I was wondering if you could, yeah, maybe just tell us a little bit more about what the future looks like for Data Whale and, you know, whether or not you have any more interesting or exciting releases planned that you know, we'd like to hear about.
So yeah, for everyone who hears about Data Whale for the first time, or if you've heard of us before, I think the first thing that is great is just to visit our website, which is datawhale.ai, and we've got tons of tools on there. So we try to explain Ocean protocols, Web3 data economy in our language, in our terms, and we're trying to use as simple language as possible. And there are also some tutorials for the Ocean market. Another thing we're working on right now is that we are going to make Alga compatible with the Ocean Market V4. So that's going to be probably releasing by June. And then we have two bigger projects that are coming up towards end of the year. We'll hopefully releasing the first one by the third quarter, which is Medusa. The website is datatoken.market and there will be a web app for people to stake on because we do understand that not everyone is comfortable staking on data sets or staking on data assets, buying data tokens through a mobile application. Like some people just prefer to do it on their desktop with their MetaMask extension. So datatoken.market will allow users to do that. And we're simply replicating Alga's backend and putting it into a different UI. So what's gonna happen on datatoken.market on Medusa is that there's going to be probably 40 or 50 data assets that are pre-selected in a certain way. Not sure yet about the details. Could be either ranked by highest liquidity or
depending on the publisher, they can get listed on datatoken.market, and we'll provide a bunch of analytics for each data set. So we'll provide, for example, how much liquidity went in and out of a pool so we can establish trends, what's the data token swap volume, so how many people swap Ocean for data tokens and vice versa. So we'll get a lot of insights that are not available right now in the Ocean market, and that hopefully will help people to identify which data tokens they'd like to stake on or which data tokens they'd like to swap. And then we'll have a separate section, and only holders or buyers of our directory data set will be able to access that section through their MetaMask extension. They'll basically confirm that will have that they have the that they've bought the Treple 36 data token, and there you'll have some in-depth analysis that we wrote now, because on about 15 data assets we've wrote in an extensive analysis, like an executive summary, an analysis of the team, etc. And then towards end of the year, we'll hopefully release Orca, which is a data NFT marketplace. So there we'll actually have our own smart contracts, and Ocean will be the underlying currency to trade data NFTs. We think this is a necessary tool, because even though data NFTs are ERC-721 and they could be traded on platforms like OpenSea, data NFTs have different attributes. So particularly how many times they've been sold or accessed with the help of data tokens. So that actually is information that is important for buyers to see whether they want to buy that NFT or not. If that data doesn't generate sales, then it's not worth buying the data NFT, right? So yeah, still very early stages, but that's the idea. And yeah, obviously we'll continue our outreach, we'll continue our YouTube channel, we'll continue our blogs and our Reddit posts and our articles. So we're doing a lot of communication for the Web3 data economy. And I think the best place for anyone to follow us is on Twitter, actually, under Real Data Wheel.
Amazing. And yeah, thank you for all of the work that you're doing in the ecosystem. I mean, that just really kind of highlights the kind of breadth of the involvement that yourself and Data Whale have got within this ecosystem, and the amount of different, not only the amount of different aspects to this ecosystem, but also the amount of, you know, different touch points and channels at which, you know, you're helping to contribute towards this ecosystem and helping to grow it. So yeah, thank you for putting in all that work, and yeah, thank you for taking the time and having the conversation here and getting a bit more of a thorough understanding of yourself, of the work you're doing, and you know, some of those kind of tricky concepts of Ocean. So hopefully people listening have, you know, taken away a couple of learnings and maybe started to understand and grasp some concepts in a bit more detail that maybe they didn't have prior to listening. Yeah, with that said, is there anything else that you would like to say before we close off?
Yeah, I think just want to thank you again for your time and for putting this up. And also, if anyone now listened through the whole podcast, thank you very much for spending nearly, I think, 45 minutes of your time to listen to what we have to say. And if you have any questions, you know where to find us. We're always happy to be talking to the community and, you know, get your input, your ideas or your opinions. We learn from you as much as you learn from us. So yeah, please feel free to reach out to us anytime. And yeah, looking forward. Thanks a lot.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for listening to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast. As you may be aware, this is a relatively new show, and we are looking for feedback and wanting to make it awesome. So if you have any thoughts or feedback that you'd like to share, please just send us an email to info@oceanmissions.com. That's info@oceanmissions.com. Thanks for listening.